Alrighty. Welcome back, everybody, to the World Corridor Digital Podcast. This is episode 183. We're coming to you from the Corridor Digital Studio in Los Angeles, California, and my little dinky studio here in Texas.
Your grand
Thanks
library.
For being here.
Where are the other drugs going?
Guys, what's up?
What's up?
Wow.
What's up?
What's going on? Thanks for joining us.
What's amazing?
Wow.
What's amazing?
Just everything.
Yeah.
We got Play-Doh. We got friends.
We got some Play-Doh.
We got time on our hands, and we're alive, everybody.
Yo, can you PD?
What a joy.
That's right. Thanks for joining us here on the Corridor Cast. I've got Jalen, Dean, Nick, and myself here today. And the Play-Doh is back for anyone who
Play-Doh's back.
And it is flowing. It's circulating.
It's flowing.
We are rich in Play-Doh.
Without the Play-Doh, there would have been some real problems, but it's back, so don't worry, guys.
Yep. Soon the homies will be back, too. We've bulk ordered homies. They're on their way. Yeah, man. We're going to have it all.
Damn, dude. Yeah,
we're going to have them all.
Only the wheelchair ones, though.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we want. Dude, for your birthday, I'm just going to get you like 10 wheelchair homies.
Thank you.
Heck yeah, dude.
When I was trying to come up with the title of that video, I got deep into a homies rabbit hole.
Do you order any for an investment?
No, I didn't.
We need homies, man.
I was too foolish to put my investment dollars into homies, unfortunately.
Big mistake.
But I did go down a few Google rabbit holes where I was just, it was all coming back to me.
It's a beautiful thing, truly.
Yeah.
Dean was not there for that, unfortunately, but
I have no idea.
Or for homies in general.
I think
you
missed
were
that.
Dead back then.
You were dead back then. You were pre-alive.
Yeah,
pre-alive.
Dean probably wasn't even born yet.
He's on pre-order.
What year is this?
pre-order.
No, you were probably alive. You probably just didn't want homies at that age.
What are homies?
This would have been...
I didn't want to ask the question because I feel like this has been...
This would have been like 98, 99.
Okay, I'm 97, so I was alive.
Yeah.
You were alive. Okay. You just missed it.
You
needed
a
quarter.
Baby.
You were a poor baby.
You needed money. A quarter. Come on.
But Dean is here. And honestly, Dean has been... fuming about something in particular for a long time.
Well, for very long time.
Very long time.
Months, probably.
Yeah.
I don't even know when this movie came out.
Brewing for months.
But it's come up again because you watched it and you guys talked about it on VFX Artists React, and it is
Dude,
The Flash.
No, Ren, Sam, and I, we did a React recently, and I was bringing The Flash. I was bringing a couple scenes, and as I was watching the film, I just kept adding scenes to the list. Going, and we got to talk about this. Oh my gosh, and this, and this. And eventually we just pivoted and made a whole episode about The Flash.
All within the bad category.
That's how you know it's bad.
Yeah.
Bad
it's
great.
It's a funny mixed bag because Dean came, I think you saw the premiere, didn't you?
No, so I went and saw the movie by myself, just very sad afterwards, feeling very empty. And I came back to the studio the next day and I think I told you the entire plot of the movie, which... Any other movie, it would have totally left my brain.
Yeah.
But this was a special one because you guys know, I'm a huge DC Comics fan. And
were you looking forward to The Flash in particular?
Oh, dude, I was looking forward to it. By the way, Tom Cruise and a bunch of celebrities were coming out and they're like, this is one of the best movies ever.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Tom Cruise was like, this is going to save theater.
Did he produce it or something?
I don't know. They must have paid him or something. I don't know why he said that.
For those who don't know, Dean is a wealth of knowledge about comics, but even more particularly DC Comics. You know
I spent way too much time on it growing up. I kind of regret. I could have been building other skills.
Dude, you could have spent more time with homies.
With the homies.
You wasted your youth,
homies
man.
Or comics.
The dangers of a homie-less youth.
So this wasn't just, this wasn't just a casual guy getting a ticket on a Thursday because, he doesn't have anything better to do. Dean was genuinely looking forward to this event.
Yeah, dude. I picked the wrong train. You know, when I was a child and it was leaving the station, they're like, Marvel, DC. I was like, oh man, I love Batman. I love Superman. I hopped on. It was good for a while. We had Christopher Nolan. And then it just really started to go downhill. And The Flash felt like, the rock bottom. Like the train came off the rails completely.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So you saw Justice League, though. Like, were you on the Ezra train already? Were you, like, Justice hanging on, League, like, I think this will, you know...
Separate the art and the artist.
Yeah.
The theatrical Justice League is objectively a terrible movie, but I had Phantom Menace syndrome walking out of it, where I was, like, I was turning to people. I was like, that was great, right? That was awesome.
Phantom Menace syndrome.
And then I went and saw it a second time.
Wanted it to be great.
And that was about the third time I saw it that I was like, this is a terrible movie.
But do you feel that way about the director's cut as well?
No, the director's cut is pretty good.
Okay.
It's like a really solid movie, but the theatrical cut is awful. And actually, particularly because it cuts out so much of the good character moments that are in the director's cut. Because they're trying to get it down to length. And so it mostly becomes about the plot, which is super generic, even in the director's cut. But there's just a lot of weird additions to it. But anyway, this isn't about Justice League. This is about the Flash.
I'm going to say, though, I don't really take to superhero movies too much. Like, you know, every once in a while they'll get to me. But Justice League was good. And particularly, I liked the Flash sequence. Like,
Like, which, did you watch the Zack Snyder
one? Yeah. Sorry, I'm talking about the Snyder cut. When I say the good part. I liked what they did with it. I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool to see that. Yeah, the rescue with the
through the glass with the little so sick.
Yeah. And then you see the quality of the VFX too. And then you know, I don't really follow Ezra Miller drama, so I separated him. I had no premonitions about that.
When they shot that movie and when that movie was released, there was nothing. Ezra Miller hadn't done anything crazy yet. I think there was one video of him like choke slamming a girl, but
nothing crazy.
Except the one video of him choke slamming.
But it was out of nowhere, and then it kind of went away. It was like, oh, that was really weird. Yeah.
Interesting.
That was really weird. Huh, what a weird thing to do. Okay, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, Flash.
But no, I agree. The Zack Snyder Justice League, I really enjoyed. And in particular, I liked Ezra Miller in that movie because he's kind of the comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And because everything, you know, Zack Snyder keeps it very, like,
serious.
Dim and serious. Yeah. And he was kind of the one bolt of light in that. Yeah. And I was excited for The Flash. And I'd seen interviews with him, and it seemed like he really understood what is interesting about the character, which is like, he's kind of like a physics, like science character. Like, you know, oh, he runs fast. But when you actually go into what that suggests for a character, it's like he can vibrate at, you know, these speeds to like move his molecules through things. He can travel through time.
That's such a sick power, by the way.
Yeah. That's a really cool power.
Let me just vibrate.
Yeah. So he can travel through time.
Yes. Yeah. And he can travel through universes.
I mean, we're all traveling through time, but we don't choose the way.
He can choose the direction.
Travel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and not specifically, but also he can travel through universes, which, you know, is probably the most depressing part about this film, and we'll get to that, but
yeah,
I feel like Flash
please.
Is like, as a character, his place in the Justice League and in the DC universe, he's kind of like Spider-Man a little bit. He's like a little more relatable than like Batman or Superman. He's just like a guy working his job, and then he becomes a superhero. And I was excited for this movie because of everything that was built up. And then I sat down to watch it, and Jordan, you can follow along with me as well, because you've seen it too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in the beginning of the movie with some babies.
I mean, we're talking the beginning. Like, this is the opening scene.
Really,
this is the tone setter. This is the tone setter.
Wow. Yeah,
for sure.
And Jordan and I were talking about this. It's the tone they're going for is a bit of like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Which is really an odd choice for like a emotionally, you know, driven superhero movie. But they were going for like wacky Looney Tunes.
But I don't know how many people knew that, because when I sat down to watch it, I had no inkling or indication that it was going to be Looney Tunes. But as I was watching it, I was just like, oh, this is super goofy, silly. And I didn't expect that, because tonally what I've seen from DC in the past, and I'm not like, I don't go and watch all the movies, but what I've seen is a very serious, somber tone, and they take it more seriously than Marvel does. But this was like completely an inversion in approach.
It was
which
almost
took me off guard.
It made like Marvel movies look more like serious.
The serious ones.
Because it was like the opening scene felt like a bad Saturday morning cartoon, where, so for you guys, you haven't seen it, there's a sequence where Barry is like, there's a hospital that's collapsing, and he looks up, and on the top floor they show there's a room full of like 20 babies, and the building starts tipping over, and the babies come careening out of the building through the windows, and now these babies are showering down, and he has to run up the building and then save them in slow motion.
Which was a great line, objectively, as a pun enthusiast, to go, it's a baby shower.
Oh, no, dude. They did not. They did. It was a baby shower, Jake.
Come on.
Oh, I had pushed that out.
Come on. Oh, I'm keeping that with me. That scar is staying with me.
That's painful.
But immediately, like, that scene starts, and, you know, you guys will talk about it on React. The effects are objectively terrible.
Dude.
And
really,
the director came out and was like, he basically just said, like, we were shooting for that. Like, it was supposed to feel weird.
Yeah. The effects. So there's a lot of effects that look cool, just to be honest about it. But the problem is where your eye is drawn, the things that pull you as a viewer, all of those things are the things that are flawed. And like, of course, the most major thing is people, right? You can't, you like, it's very, very difficult.
So
we just did this
said
with
all the things you're supposed to look at are bad.
Yeah. Because all the destructive elements, like the vibe is sick and it's great destruction work, but your eye isn't drawn to the destruction. It's drawn to the falling babies. And the falling babies, you know, they're far from perfect. And since that's what you're looking at, you're immediately no longer feeling any sort of sense of danger or care for these babies or the solution.
They're CG Gumby guys.
Yeah, dude, they're sons
of
the
babies,
mesh.
These babies, they probably have about 16 vertices on that mesh of each baby. I kid you not, dude. You can see basically the sharp corners on those, on the freaking swaddle. What's it called? The clothy wrap around a baby or whatever?
Swaddle.
Swaddle. Yeah.
So like, and they're all swaddled for like, obviously because the VFX artist just didn't have enough freaking machine power to like render out a flailing baby. So they just swaddle them in some like low poly mesh cloth and just chuck them out a window.
I think it all comes,
it shows.
It all comes down to time.
It
with
always
this movie
does.
Because the amount of craziness surrounding this film. So
yeah, the director you mentioned, he's how many directors has it gone through?
Oh, it's gone through
four.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah. It's gone through so many directors. Like, this movie's been in production or development for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Or something.
It was first announced, I believe, in 2014, was it? Or 2018 was the initial release date that they wanted to aim for.
And
I think
it was supposed to be Rick Famuyiwa, who did Dope, which is a great movie.
That's a great movie, yeah.
But he dropped out due to creative differences.
With who? With the producers?
With DC.
Yeah.
And he's doing Star Wars stuff now. So
he read the baby scene. He's like, nope, I'm good.
So it went through a bunch of directors after that. I can't really remember them all, but it ended up with Andy Muschietti, who did the It movies.
Which I loved. I loved the It movies.
But also, it works for a horror movie, but like the tone is very similar. Where
it's the
like,
Looney Tunes, man.
It's a little bit self-aware and like, it's like, it's a little bit of self-parody. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of winking at the audience and going like, this is dumb. you know, and like you watch It too, and there's like a little bit of that from like Bill Hader's character. And so with this movie, jumping right in, right to the first scene, having it be these like it's like the director went, what is the dumbest thing a superhero could do? It's like, oh, he's not just going to save a baby. He's going to save like 20 babies and they're all falling out of a building. And as the scene was going, I was like, oh, they don't care. They don't like, this is like a joke to them. And I'm sitting there with my popcorn. I like deeply love these characters. And you just, and I'm just sitting there like, oh man, they don't care at all. And then, so that set the tone for the rest of the movie.
And you're sitting there alone, having just spent $40 to be there total.
Yeah.
Going, wow, they already have your money. And now they're just taunting you.
Yeah. They're like, hey, idiot. That's like what the it feels like. And then after that, they go straight to a chase sequence, or it's like intercut with a chase sequence with Ben Affleck's Batman, which Ben Affleck, you know, God rest his soul.
God rest his creative soul.
I feel so bad for him because he signed up for this first movie, Batman v Superman, which was like a really dark take on Batman, very intense take on Batman. I think that's why he agreed to it. But he probably signed like a long-term contract for these movies. And the tone has changed so much that he's in this movie in the full like blue Batman costume. It's broad daylight. And he's doing like the hands on hips, like, hey kid, you know, good job saving the day. Like that kind of stuff. And I'm like, this poor guy. And the suit looks so, I mean, dude, I could go so, like the suit looks so bad. And then they have Gal Gadot show up again to like deliver some wooden lines.
Is it a CG suit?
Everything's pretty much CG. There's like one close up, and we've talked about this.
Yes.
And again, going back to Batman v Superman, they have this like very intricately designed cowl, which is a different like design aesthetic from the other Batman movies. Mm-hmm. And it's like very sculpted and carved, but it looks great at night. But when they bring him out in broad daylight, you could just see the latex and like how it's pinching his face. And like Ben Affleck just looks like he's shoved into this mask. And he's just like, hey, Barry.
They're like, get the mask squeezer. Yeah. Come on, all right, we're about to roll.
They got some acne friggin' face shovers.
They got some PA back there.
And sorry, Ben, I know you haven't been in a real suit for a while.
I think that's the only shot of Ben Affleck in the movie. There are scenes that Ben Affleck is just Bruce Wayne in, but like him in the Batman costume, that's got to be the only shot of him that's actually him, because all the other shots are like him on a motorcycle or behind him, and they probably just had a stunt man.
Well, James Gunn is on record here as he's what? He's this, isn't he like the CEO of DC or
he's the head of DC Studios now.
Yeah. So I was reading an interview from him, and he was saying he wants all of these to have a different tonality. Like, you know, you have the really gritty series, you have the super jokey, wacky. And obviously, like Guardians of the Galaxy, I think he nails it. He does really good. But yeah, this was so goofy and out of left field that it shocked me.
Yeah.
It totally shocked me. Don't you want to keep it consistent with what people might understand and expect from previous iterations
of these
series?
Problem is that they came out of the gate with Man of Steel is kind of its own thing, but right after that the money for Man of Steel wasn't quite what they were expecting, and they immediately started taking what Zack Snyder wanted to do with these movies, which was to do a kind of his own thing, like a dark twisted take on these characters that would kind of end up with them as the heroes, you know, but to kind of go through that whole arc. But they immediately started course correcting, and then Batman v Superman got terrible reviews. Mm. And that's why the theatrical cut of Justice League happened, is because they were like, make it funny like Marvel. But it's kind of smashed together with Zack Snyder's aesthetic, which is just such an uncanny thing.
Well, if you want a way to kill any creative project, it's open the kitchen doors and introduce hundreds of cooks who have probably never cooked anything before, you know, or at least not creatively. And it's like all these notes, the fact that you go through four directors, you go through like three or four iterations of the script, you push the date three or four times. It's like, it must have just been absolute chaos in the kitchen of all these conflicting thoughts and people wanting to have their stamp left on it. You know, that was my idea. Yeah. All this stuff. And then the director's just trying to shield an original creative vision and keep track of it through the course of a feature. It's a nightmare.
No, I guess I shouldn't blame him.
After the first director, though, walks off the project, after that, it's just about how do we not burn more money?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, imagine being hired as the fourth director.
Which dude.
And you're like, oh, my job is literally just to keep this thing somewhat on the rails.
Yeah.
And make sure that these eight CG babies got composited in. So you have a day.
Have a day.
Imagine how much money they burned through in the however many years of production. And then Ezra Miller has a complete mental breakdown. I don't think they were even, they might have been fully, they weren't done production when Ezra Miller had their complete, throwing chairs at people, kidnapping people. It was,
I don't know what he did, but that sounds about right.
All I heard is throwing chairs at people and he was leaving guns out all over the place when that kids could basically
die. Yeah, there was a bag of guns. He's just leaving them out.
There was a compound at one point, which tells you something. And the fact that Ezra is brought out onto the red carpet for this movie is just so telling of how much money was put into it, because there was a point where people were like, you're going to cancel this movie, right?
Yeah.
This
is alleged insane. Kidnapping, by the way.
Alleged
kidnapping.
Alleged.
Right.
Kidnapping. It's a blanket term.
Yeah, it could be lots of things.
But
the kid was napping. What was I supposed to do?
What was he doing?
So yeah, it's really, this movie and Justice League are two of the most interesting stories of a film's production in history, the history of cinema. Because Justice League, you have, Zack Snyder, his family lost their daughter and he had to drop it out of production. And then they put Joss Whedon on it. This movie, you have years of production. And then Ezra Miller loses his mind. And it turned out in a piece of crap.
Well, I will say this. Dean came back and just roasted it to pieces when I first heard about it. And obviously in preparation for this, I wanted to watch the whole thing and have the context of it. And I will say it was better than I expected. I laughed a few times.
Yeah.
I was smiling a little bit. I had a good time. Some of the visual effects were really good.
Yeah.
Some of them were very noticeable and bad. But overall it was a better experience than I expected going in. That said, I have no affinity or connection to these characters.
I had some friends who were like, oh, it was fine. I think the thing about it for me is not that it's a terrible story. It's just a completely generic, serviceable story that is only the plot points only exist to get another character in from here he is,
which of course is summed up perfectly.
I think before we get to the freaking cameos, the which they're cameos. Not even cameos, oh,
so
Jake,
bad.
It was awful.
No.
But let me so.
No,
just to get you up to speed, they send him back in time. The whole movie, the craziest part about the movie is that it's not just one Ezra Miller, it's two Ezra Millers. He's meeting himself from another universe, and the whole movie is two Ezra Millers on screen.
Okay, yeah,
wait,
they committed.
Another universe. So you're saying they brought in a multiverse?
So the idea is that the Flash realizes that he can move through time by running really fast, going faster than the speed of light.
Yeah, he breaks
and
through.
And so his kind of core trauma, Batman, is that he had a parent die when he was young. It was his mom, and she was murdered. They don't know why. So he's going back in time to try to, stop her from being killed. And it's the butterfly effect. He goes back and changes one thing to make sure that that doesn't happen. And he comes back to the present, and he realizes the future has changed, but they make it so he's actually in a new branching timeline.
Yeah.
That is a different multiverse or universe.
Yeah. Instead of just the future branching off and changing.
Yeah.
By changing one thing, you've shifted the past and the future. So new people are different people now.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Now we can do anything in our movies.
So now Bruce Wayne, instead of
Back
being
to the Future, set the canon for all time travel movies.
No, but it's kind of worse than Back to the Future. Cause
I know
they,
I'm saying if you don't follow the Back to the Future logic.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, you have to, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. And in this case, it doesn't make any sense. Cause it's just an excuse for them to go Michael Keaton's here now.
Yeah. That's it.
Just
Michael Keaton is here now.
And it's transparently
Michael Keaton
so.
Is Batman?
Yeah, it's Michael Keaton's yeah, Batman from the 89. It's from the 89.
They even went
Batman.
Further back, Jake. They even went further no. back.
What did they?
Christopher Reeve?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's later, son. That's later.
Okay.
Oh, but so Keaton is, it's his character from the 89 Batman. So it's not just like he's in this as Batman. It's the character from those two movies. And they come, they find him. He's like
so
an old
Bruce
guy.
Wayne
yes.
From the 89 Batman.
Has replaced Ben Affleck.
And but now this Bruce Wayne
is older as well.
Is older because they didn't want to do visual effects on Michael Keaton.
Yeah, and it like yeah, they could have totally done that.
But it's a universe where he was old all the time.
Yeah,
so,
it's a
yeah,
universe
you.
Where
yeah,
he
fuck
was
you, man. Yeah.
He was like Ben it's Affleck's multiverse. Age like 20 years ago, which makes and he looks like a different human being. Which makes no
don't question
sense.
It. It's
multiverse.
Multiverse
dude.
Flash went really fast now. Okay.
It's multiverse.
To
man.
Take
it
a so slight divergence, a nerdy divergence into the comics. This is based on a
the
comic book called Flashpoint,
crap.
Which is a very classic comic book. And interestingly, the Flashpoint comic was also meant as a way to reboot DC Comics, just in the same way that this movie's meant to reboot the DC Cinematic Universe.
Dude, that's the thing. You're saying this like it's a merit, like it's meant to reboot this, and it's like
so
that's a corporate business decision.
Yes. No, that's what I mean.
That they are shoving down our throat as art consumers and saying, "Don't you guys care about this? We're gonna reboot this universe." Mm. It's like. So you're just coming out in the open. You're saying you want to mine our wallets for the next 10 years with this crap.
But so
like
in the comics, the reason they have to do that is because there's like 75 years of these characters and their interactions with each other. And sometimes they just have to go, guys, we need to allow new people to be able to read these comic books. We're starting over.
Mm.
Batman just became Batman. Superman just became Superman. So they have to like hit a reset. And so they hit that every like 20 years or something.
And then every 100, they do a multiverse and bring it all together for a big party.
Yeah,
and then they reset.
Yeah, exactly. But so it's crazy how the DC movies managed to reach the same level of convolutedness in like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just by the movies being poorly directed and like guided. But so in the comics, Barry goes back in time, and instead of it being just a random dude that he's never met, it's Bruce Wayne's father is now Batman, and Bruce Wayne's mom is now the Joker because Bruce Wayne died as a kid.
Bruce Wayne's mom is the Joker?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
No,
sense at all.
No.
So now we're playing house
Batman
with
and,
other superheroes?
Batman and Joker
what
are
is
brothers.
This, Dean?
Wait, what?
They're like
they're
evil
brothers.
What do you mean like, they're evil brothers?
They're the opposite.
That's
of
a
each
fan
other.
Theory, right? Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But it's no.
That's
so,
not
but,
just a fan theory. Isn't that actually in canon?
Are they actually brothers?
No, they're not brothers. What are you talking about?
Are you sure?
I heard a strong theory that
two brothers.
There's,
I'm gonna,
yeah, there's.
Well, you keep going with this. I'm gonna look this up.
There's
Jake.
Comics,
it's a multiverse, and one multiverse.
That's
they're
what
brothers.
I'm saying.
That's your
that,
truth.
This
that's
is the convoluted thing. Is in comics, everything has happened in comics. Everybody's died at least 3 times.
Gotcha.
You know. X, Y, and Z. But so in the comics, all I'm trying to say with the Flashpoint comic is that it's people that Barry knows. So like Wonder Woman and Aquaman are now at war, like the Atlanteans and the Amazonians are at war. So there's a whole war happening on Earth. Like there's all this crazy stuff happening. And in the movie, it's just, hey, here's Michael Keaton and Zod's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you remember
Zod?
Zod,
Zod.
You remember Zod?
Yeah.
There's some suggestion, guys, that Batman and Joker are brothers, but it's never been
by Jake Watson on the Corner podcast.
Conspiracies down the rabbit hole.
Editing the
Wikipedia. You got a Joker
tinfoil bat cowl on.
Have you seen Joker? The dark one with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, in the Joaquin Phoenix movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
They suggest that.
But that's just that movie. I don't remember
yeah,
that
but
ever
isn't
being
that,
a thing.
Isn't that
comics.
Part of the
multiverse, man?
Yeah, it's a multiverse. Everything's possible. There is definitely a universe where Joker and Batman
this.
Are brothers.
Yeah, I kind of like this multiverse. I could just say whatever I want.
Batman is a brother with his foot.
Yeah.
That's his
brother. Dude, those are my favorite branches
and
of the
his
multiverse.
His other foot is Flash.
Dude, that looks sick. I want to watch that.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying it don't make no goddamn sense to
I
have
agree with
Joker
you, Jake.
Be played by Batman's mom. What the hell's going on
no,
here?
No, she's not played by Batman's mom. Like, his mom became the Joker.
It's same thing, okay? Batman is Bruce Wayne is Batman, okay? His mom
is
not the Joker.
It's a universe.
And his dad is not Batman.
Are you on DC Rider, Jake?
Don't touch Jake's Batman.
Jake, you can have your Batman, okay?
No, don't you start saying my truth. Don't get into the my truth thing. I will absolutely lose it if you get into the my truth thing. Okay, just truth. Truth, by its very definition, is not subjective to the individual.
No, I'm sorry, Jake.
But the writers are doing it. All the writers are saying, but it's my truth.
No,
there's a multiverse.
Look, Dean's truth is that Batman's mom is the Joker. Okay, that's Dean's truth. We have to respect Dean's truth.
The point in the story in the comics is that by Barry saving his mom, he ruins or he changes all these things, and now Batman's world is upside down, you know, and Bruce is dead.
Right,
and his dad's
right.
Alive.
I get it. But
anyway, so you know what? I shouldn't spend this much time taking you into all the details
of
the movie. Point is, things go terribly. Barry is like, I shouldn't have done this. Nothing I do can help, because that's a really empowering superhero story. Is that
why did I even try in the first place?
So, dude,
a superhero. Why did I even try?
Michael Keaton, Batman dies.
Uh-huh.
This new Supergirl character dies. And Barry's like, shit, I guess I couldn't help. And he leaves this universe. He's like, shit.
Whoops.
And then the
he
other Barry
leaves it in tatters.
Just leaves it in absolute tatters. Wow. And the Barry who's from that universe is like, no, dude, you can't do this. Like, my entire planet's going to die. And he's like, it's just shit happens, man.
The characters know that the stakes have been lowered by this.
Yeah.
Even the characters are self-aware.
And I get the point they're trying to make. It's like the point they're trying to make is like, he shouldn't try to go back and change the past, because that trauma defined him and made him a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of way they hone in that point is that this Barry, the other Barry from the other world, is like, no, I'm going to fix this. And he keeps going in this infinite loop where he's like, he keeps coming back and he's got like more shards in him from being in this battle. Mm-hmm. And he like can't fix it, but he's like, no, one more time. And then a third Ezra Miller. So there's three Ezra Millers in this movie now. He comes back, or he enters the picture, and he's like 1,000 years old.
Wait, dude, are the babies all Ezra Millers?
Is he 1,000 years old?
I think they
might be. Dude, they're all Jokers, man.
He saved all the other Flashes in the universe.
And put them all right there.
Why did he also not age?
He did. That was old Flash.
Yeah, he's like really old. But he says he's been doing this for like eons.
Yeah.
So it's he's the older version of this other Flash who's been trying to fix it for 2 minutes on screen. So it's really not that impactful. And then he comes and he's like, I figured it out. I have to kill you or something. Uh-huh. Something dumb. And then,
okay.
That was in the script. Just something dumb. Something like dumb. A filler. I don't know.
And then
I have to kill you, .. Something dumb.
Something dumb.
They kill him or something.
Exterior.
It doesn't matter.
The writer looks at that. He's
exterior
like,
day. Something
okay,
dumb.
So I forgot to mention.
8 babies. Something dumb.
I forgot to mention the universe, or like the way they present time travel is like, you know, like a zoetrope, like the kind of revolving. Yeah. Zoetrope kind of thing is like, that's how they present time travel, is all of Barry's memories are like a zoetrope around him, and he's in this little
conceptually very cool.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Visually not very well executed, because it's weird, uncanny CG people.
Well, Jake, this is the biggest issue. Like,
try to visualize that.
Yeah,
he's running on a treadmill in the middle
that
of that.
That can be done these days. Like, that seems like one of the like more down to earth VFX.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is the thing. It was like visually very complex, and it was like the Flash at the center of the zoetrope, and you know, they had all the different characters and all the different possibilities like being visualized, and there was a CG camera kind of floating through it and showing you, you know, Henry Cavill, Superman, and all these other people. But the problem is, they didn't use any photography of these actors.
Yeah.
They
just leave the
digidoubles
on.
They used digidoubles, but the problem is, again, it's like they're playing so close with the camera to these characters that we know so well. you have to hit that high mark that we expect. Mm. Otherwise, yeah, it falls into Uncanny Valley. And it's not just that it like barely didn't make it out of Uncanny Valley. It was deep in the trenches. Oh. Like Sam kept making the joke that it's like Polar Express. You look at it and you go, what is that?
No,
is
exactly.
that supposed to be Henry Cavill?
And so the biggest insult, you're talking about characters we know and love, right? Mm. So this sphere of his zoetrope, you see other spheres appearing. And yeah. I was like, at this point, I was like depressed.
This is when the multiverses are colliding.
And there was
everything's falling to pieces.
The only cameo at this point has been Michael Keaton's Batman and then Michael Shannon as General Zod from the Man of Steel movie. But they're like characters in the film. So that's cool, right? That's like, it's storytelling. These spheres enter and I'm like, shit, they're about to do Everybody's Here, you know? Oh. And so I'm thinking at that point, I get maybe a little bit of lift because I'm like, well, who's going to, you know,
who's here?
Who's going to show up?
Bus is
get
pulling
ready,
in.
Jake.
No,
the first guy
no, all,
to show up.
All your
up.
Favorite heroes.
No,
guys, give me a guess.
And I thought Wonder Woman was bad, where she like travels back in time 6 different freaking times with Chris Pine, and you're like, guys, just just be straight with this. Like, it's like I don't understand why this movie needs to be 45 minutes of just them traveling to different places.
Well,
please, no.
Dean,
but this is
Dean,
all, Jake,
we'll
this is
Gal
all, this is all
later.
Your favorite characters, you know.
Well, Dean, real quick, if I can just cut in here, because I think, like, again, I'm not a big superhero movie guy, but I remember going to Endgame, and when the characters appear, it was earned, and people got excited, and they were cheering in the theater.
Yes.
I remember I was there, it was super exciting. It's like, oh, he's here. They have a purpose. They're coming to aid. There's a reason they're there.
To save the day.
And we felt like we earned it because we watched all the movies leading up to it. It was spectacular. It felt like over at DC headquarters, they're like, how do we do this?
Well, because in the story, like literally in the script.
They're sitting there with the binoculars.
It's like, how do we get that?
Looking across Burbank.
Yeah. And they forgot about the earning it part. And they're like, oh, just show them other people.
That's the problem. It's like, it happens at the same point in the story as Endgame, right? So it's like, we're at the very, you know, bottom of the, you know, like, the cards are down, like this is bad, but the difference here is that this is like, these characters are coming at us, they are a threat because they're crashing into our universe and like they're like gonna destroy our universe by crashing into us, and so it's like get away, whereas the heroes showing up like, in Avengers, it's like they're here to save the day. These characters are like, no, go away.
we don't want you here.
So but you
I
think
just got here. It doesn't matter. You gotta get out of here now.
They remember me? He's like, shut up, go. So I was an officer. Shut the fuck up.
But you'd think at least the least they could do for all of my pain in watching this like diarrhea of a movie is to show me like, here's Christian Bale.
Yeah. Like, right? Like if you have diarrhea, you hope there's going to be some chunks that are solid, you know? Like you hope there's going to be something there to hold on to.
America's worst metaphor.
So, but like I'm
trying to
grab
your
guts out.
Yeah. Like maybe there's something that smells
you hope
a little
at
bit
least
good
a
in
window,
there.
Just something that's going to leave a splash and not a
and
not
the nearest
a
person is at least 25, 30 feet away.
But like at least. So it and also it's a Flash movie. So there's a Flash TV show that's been on for like 10 years. Show me that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I liked that show for 2 seasons. Yeah. but so instead, Jake, we get, wait for it, the 1940s George Reeves Superman shows up.
I know you're waiting for that one.
I know you were waiting, dude.
But
Christopher Reeves.
No. George Reeves.
Wait, what?
Wait,
is
what?
Played
wait,
Superman
I'm this, what?
In the 40s serials.
No way. Is that his brother?
No. Yeah, it's the guy. Totally separate.
But they just used someone from the crew, I think, as the scan.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
As the scan
Look
for
up
it.
George Reeves.
Oh, no, I just God. Did. Oh, there's God. No imagery of him that has color.
Yeah.
That's
no,
how...
it's black and white. Yeah. If this planet show this fucking planet or whatever shows up and it's a black and white guy like and it's not a guy, it's a CG model.
This guy looks like he just rolled off the boat from World War II.
Did this Superman also commit suicide by gunshot?
Produced during the war,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Bro, like this guy's straight out of Germany.
Oh, I was mixing it up with the other black and white guy.
Oh, there is, and that guy's not even a movie character. That's I'm pretty sure that's the original Flash from the comics. I'm spacing on his name for some reason.
So we see
Jay Garrick. Jay Garrick in the comics is the original Flash.
But they scanned some guy from the crew.
Yeah, just some dude.
I think to be that guy.
Is that true? Or
yeah, I think I read that. I read that before the react. I think it was just some guy.
That's even worse. It's just some guy. I didn't even know that.
There's like four guys who look like this just down the street.
They're like, hey, we gotta get it. We got a guy in here. We just need a body. Hey, just come over here.
Are you fucking kidding me?
How to break Dean's spirit even more.
I didn't know that cameo
was actually just some guy.
It's just some guy.
Some fucking guy.
Yeah.
Get ready. Here he comes.
It's some guy.
We grabbed a random guy on the crew. And tossed
they
him in there.
They probably did, bro.
Okay, they had Black Panther. Okay, they had... Who can we have? Who can we have? Yeah, some guy.
Hey, Jeff, come over here, man.
Hey, dude, you're going to
be our big reveal.
Put on this tin can hat, dude.
1940 Superman and some guy.
Yeah, you remember that guy.
Some fucking guy.
They're trying to bring back all the... Can you imagine if they bring back Captain America and it's just some guy?
we had some guy in the crew.
In the credits, just some guy.
I can't imagine it, actually. I can. Oh, yes.
No, because the thing is that character, because they're trying to say that like in the George Reeves Superman universe, there's also a Flash, and he's the original Flash, Jay Garrick.
No.
And Jay Garrick in the comics has a very iconic look. He's got like this tin can helmet on.
Yeah, it's that old school.
I don't think there was ever a show with that character. So they're just like, it doesn't matter. It's just a guy.
He's running. He was also in the Cyclorama or the Zootopia, whatever it's called.
Did you say Zootopia?
I'm sure they were thinking that one was going to get a real Comic-Con buzz.
It's like World War One Flash. But it like, the yeah, so George Reeves comes out and it's just.
Civil War Flash.
Like the character doesn't even, he barely moves. Like the cape moves. And he's just standing there. And then they're like, all right, on to the next one. Yeah. And you're like, what?
Yeah, you're like, okay, you enjoy him. Wait till you see his next
planet comes. And all right, you were right, Jake. It's the other Reeves. It's Christopher Reeves, Superman. But Christopher Reeves is dead. So it's a CG model.
Very uncanny.
Very, very uncanny. And then, dude, just for the cherry on top, you remember the 1977 or whatever Supergirl movie?
Yeah.
No? Yeah. No one else does. And she walks up next to him.
How was that in the theater? Did everyone clap?
Was it silent?
Yeah. No, people are like, who the fuck are these people?
Just one guy's like, yeah.
One guy's like,
they did it. They did it.
So he's like, who's that?
You did miss a good cameo when it flew by Batman. Do you remember Batman?
Oh, did they have the Adam West?
They had the Adam West Batman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't doing anything. He was just there.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight.
It's like clips from the show, dude. They have like clips from the show and it's like, there he is. You remember this one? And then they keep moving on.
So there's literally, let me just paint a picture. There's a moment at the end of the film where Flash has to confront all these different versions of himself, and he's running so hard through these like possible universes he starts to encounter.
He's standing. He's standing there.
Don't even get me started on his little like run in place thing. Yeah, that thing. I'm doing.
It's supposed to be this moment.
It's like they've ruined, it's whatever. They've ruined the timeline or something and all the universes are crashing together.
Yeah, and visually imagine that if you're the Flash, you're at the center of this big sphere and there's like the roof got ripped off basically and you're looking outside of the roof and there's other big spheres with these other characters in them.
Just standing,
looking back through the crack.
Essentially, it turns it all into a big snow globe. This universe, one snow globe. This other one, another snow globe, also different color.
It doesn't make any sense because where is Superman standing that he's seeing this happen?
He's on a roof.
It's like Christopher Reeves is on the edge of this roof, like looking out.
He's just waving.
But it's like, okay, Flash is in like, and also it doesn't make any sense because is Flash like actively vibrating through time while he's standing there? Like, is he actively in this place or did he end up in this? Like, how does it end? Anyway, what it doesn't nothing matters anymore.
No.
Yeah, but that wasn't the biggest reveal of all.
Okay, so
it keeps going.
There's the best one.
We're getting to the mountaintop. There's two more. This one is it really broke me. It really broke me.
Aw.
Because
buddy.
At least, at the very least, these other characters, they're from films. They're from media that you've watched and enjoyed the stories. So, like, you know, when you watch Spider-Man No Way Home, when Peter Parker from the Tobey Maguire, you know, the Tobey Maguire Peter Parker, when he shows up, there's, you know, there he has his own arc in that film, I guess. But the main thing is you're like, oh my God, it's the character I love from this thing that I enjoyed. The same is true of these characters. Now we go to this next character. And you see a giant spider shooting lasers out of its mouth or something.
This was the biggest reveal of the entire section.
It was like they were almost being like, fuck Christopher Reeves.
Yeah. Everyone
this
else before.
This guy is, you've been waiting for this guy.
You've earned this.
So and then you see another Superman with long hair, long, beautiful flowing hair. Yeah. He lasers the spider and kills it. And then the light shifts over him and he turns around. And it's Nicolas Cage Superman.
What?
So Jake, you might
what?
Be wondering.
Those words are next
you might
to
be wondering.
Other?
I don't remember a Superman movie with Nicolas Cage. It's because it was never made. It's because this Tim Burton was going to make a Superman movie, and Nicolas Cage was going to be Superman in that movie because Nicolas Cage is like a massive Superman fan. But the movie got canceled, like really early in production. Like nothing was filmed. There was like one screen test picture, which is has become like a meme. Like that picture of Nicolas Cage as Superman, it's kind of become a meme. And so not only is this not a character from this film, like he doesn't have his own internal story in this film. It's not even a character from other media.
This isn't a joke.
It's a character.
It's a meme.
It's you're a character from an...
You're being serious right now.
No, and it's... so it, like
this is the member berry. This is the rotten, dried member berry you find under the counter on the floor, and you're like, oh I remember that from like 8 years ago when I made freaking member berry smoothie and then dropped down
when
there.
When I read that article on IGN about how Nicolas Cage was almost Superman, like...
Yeah, and Jake, and the worst
that's
part,
like,
maybe...
That's like their pinnacle moment of choice.
That's the big
but
reveal.
But Jake,
oh God,
it wasn't even him. It was a digital Nicolas Cage that was so deep in the uncanny valley, they didn't even give you the real guy.
It didn't even look like that Nick Cage. It didn't even really look like Nick Cage.
I feel like I'm having a bad drug trip right now.
Yeah,
I do too. How do you think I felt watching this movie, dude?
Can you imagine if I go back in time, if I pull a flash and I pull Dean aside and I go, you're going to spend 2 hours leading up to a reveal of Polar Express Nicolas Cage Superman. Do you still want to go inside?
Well, and dude, so there's a moment when I saw Batman v Superman in the theaters, there's a moment in Batman v Superman where Ezra Miller as the Flash appears from like running back in time. He appears to Bruce Wayne and he's like, you have to save him. Like Lois is the key. And like, you're like, oh my God, I was literally hyperventilating because that was the first movie where they had DC characters together on screen where like Superman was with Batman, all that stuff. So that movie was like, that was really my Phantom Menace, I guess, at the end of the day. Cause I was like, I leaned over my friend. I was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life. And the moment with Flash, I was like, the possibilities, right? Mm. All of these storylines were like, Flash comes back from the future and, you know, you're going to have different versions of these characters. My imagination was running, you know? And like you said,
and what if only. They... What
if only I could have gone to that dean and been like, don't listen to him. don't have hope.
They pick?
Because that's really the theme of this movie. The theme of this movie at the end of the day is like, don't have hope for anything.
Yeah.
Nothing can change.
The beautiful irony of that, right? It's like, if I could just go back and give you the message of the film, then when you went in to go see it, it wouldn't hurt as bad. You can't change the past.
So that, Jake, that's the big reveal is Nicolas Cage Superman. And then, so Barry comes back to the present. We got one more reveal for you. He comes back to the present and he let his mom die. So great success for the hero is he let his mother die.
Good job.
But he at least helped his dad get out of being framed for a murder. So because the court case was that was like a framing device at the beginning of the movie. So he got his dad out of jail, you know, and so he's walking out of the courthouse and he gets a call from Bruce Wayne. And already I'm like, who's it going to be?
Mm.
I was thinking like, because the thing is, Michael Keaton Batman dies in this movie.
Mm.
And like,
so it can't be him.
But first of all, you're like, okay,
it can't be Ben Affleck because apparently Ben Affleck's dad is actually Batman.
But, you know, you could, like, maybe it is Michael Keaton Batman. And then it would kind of help bring home that point of like, no, Barry actually was Barry was able to change the future, right? He can't change the past, but he can change the future. So he could have, like, you know, Michael Keaton could be alive in this new timeline or something. So I'm like, oh, cool. Michael Keaton's going to be here. And then they can do, I don't know, they could do like a Batman Beyond movie where Michael Keaton's the old Batman. I'm starting to have hope again, which is stupid. It's stupid for Dean to have hope again with these DC movies. And then the car rolls up. It's like, oh, Bruce Wayne's here. All the press runs up, which is, first of all, like, why would Bruce Wayne be at this random court case in a different city?
Mm.
That's super suspicious. And who gets out of the car, Jake?
Dude, I don't. You're probably gonna tell me like freaking
Betty White, dude.
Yeah, Betty White Beetlejuice? As Joker is like. No, that's where I'm at.
No, it's a Batman we know and love. It's everybody's favorite Batman.
Dracula. Mm.
It's Christian George Bale. Clooney.
Oh,
it's George Clooney's Batman, dude.
I remember him.
It's everybody's favorite Batman, right?
Is that everyone's favorite Batman, dude?
What do you mean?
Are you saying George Clooney.
This is the most
Christian Bale is Batman movie. Batman.
It was like the final nail in the coffin for the fans of like, God. Oh, you had any hope left?
And the thing is like, they're not going to do anything.
This? And dude, Barry Allen, our superhero, this character made for children. When Bruce Wayne is driving up and George Clooney walks out, he says, "Who the fuck is that?" And then the movie ends.
What?
That's the end of the movie.
What?
He says, "Who the fuck is that?" That's the end.
Oh my gosh,
movie.
Dude.
Why?
For comedic effect.
Just a vulgar.
Did they write
use?
This with ChatGPT 2?
It won't even be an artistic use of a vulgar word. We're just gonna throw it in there.
Yeah. No, because you get one fuck.
They saved it for the end
in like a movie, and you get to have
even
like,
that is self-referential. Like, I bet they were counting on people knowing that fact.
Yeah.
It's so cringy. It's like this, the writing, the movies for the Comic-Con panels, you know? Mm, like, literally, it's not for an audience.
No.
It's for these announcements. That whole you get like, one F word thing is actually not true.
Oh, it's not?
No, you get, it's the way that the MPAA does it is just by it's like a review of.
Oh, the entire
the context.
Parents and people who sign up to do that, and they say, okay, this is gonna be. We feel like this is gonna be a PG-13 film.
Mm. It's an old wives' tale, but I have seen a lot of superhero movies have made use of this. I don't know if anybody. I don't want to spoil it, but Guardians of the Galaxy 3, one of the best PG-13 F-bomb drops I've ever seen.
Really,
it's very good. So fucking funny, and then. There's also a really funny one in X-Men First Class. You remember that one with James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender? They walk into a bar. They're like putting together a team and they find Wolverine and he's just like, fuck off. And they leave. And that's the only part with Wolverine in the movie. So that's super funny. But then, yeah, to have the final beat of the movie to be Flash just basically being like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah,
that's like a perfect metaphor for the movie.
Yeah, it felt. I mean, it felt like of all the movies that I've watched, all the superhero movies that I've watched, it felt the most corporately driven.
Yeah,
it felt like very, very transparently a reset of the universe and like this idea of fan service. Like you're feeding birds. Like you just there's some bird seed in the bag. Just throw it on the ground. They'll eat
it. That's what I said.
They think we're dumb birds, dude.
Kind of.
I felt like I was sitting there. I love this thing. And they're just like, here's your slop, piggy, you know, eat it up.
Oh, you like Christopher Reeve.
They're just like tossing that at me.
Yeah.
And the whole time they're showing you pictures of like filet mignon. They're like, this is what it could. Here you
go. They're just showing. I mean, that's the movie is they're like showing you pictures of things that you like.
Yeah. You want some Nicolas Cage?
There's no substance in these films. And like the thing is, y'all are guilty for it because you guys told them they could do that and they'd make money. So
well,
I hope
no, they didn't.
But
you're so disappointed and they stopped I'm making these. But
it's like show actually... me real quick. Like show me a character from the comics. Don't show me an actor who almost played a character. Like.
That's what we told them is cool, though. That's what people
have ever heard.
They have learned that that is what gets people to go into theaters. It's not about the story. It's not about the character, even. Yeah. It's about the fucking actor.
And again, these reveals, Jake, I can't stress this enough. The orb fractured. He looked out and saw them. And then fixed the problem and it shut again. They did nothing. They said nothing. They interacted not even a little bit. They did nothing at all other than be revealed and then be put away again.
Be revealed and don't emote.
That was it. An emotionless
reveal.
Make
sure you don't have them emote at all.
It was almost like they pulled down from the top shelf. They're like, remember this toy? Okay. And then put it back away again. They're like, I didn't even remember that toy.
Okay. That's enough.
That's enough. Okay.
That's a perfect analogy.
To your point, I'm sure there's a bunch of fans who were sitting there like, oh, whoa. That's cool.
There was one guy who was like, everyone looking around to his friends. He's like,
demand better.
Because there was... See, where it all fell apart was with Thanos in the first Avengers movie. Because Thanos popped up in the post-credit scene. It's not part of the movie. It's like a little bonus thing for people who stayed through the credits. And everybody went, oh, I wonder who that is. You know? But the real fans were like, oh my God, it's Thanos. They're going to do the Infinity Saga. And so everybody went home. They went on Wikipedia. They saw the articles that came out from like, you know, all the nerd outlets. Mm. And they're like, oh, okay, it was Thanos. Oh, that's cool.
It was like a grassroots, like, lore drop kind of.
Yeah,
like,
and it actually paid off. Yeah. And 10 years later, he's the main villain of the movie.
And now everybody knows his name.
Oh, yeah. And it's a great character. And that's, like, the best example of it. But after that, they started to go, oh, you can just show them. You don't even have to do all that work of, like, writing interesting characters.
You don't even need to
characters.
Be casted as the character.
Yeah.
You can just be
a
guy.
We can just have a CG guy pop up. And even the Marvel movies are...
guy.
Even the Marvel movies are really guilty of this at this point because the Easter egg... It's like the Easter egg industrial complex where it's, like, these movies, they know that so much of the press that comes out about them is going to be like, who showed up?
Completely.
Mm-hmm. You know? Who did you miss, you know, in the 2-hour movie when there was a 1-second shot of a guy in a bar, you know? And so, there's been a ton of Marvel movies since where they're like, they'll name drop a character or, you know, a character will pop up and then be gone. And people are like, oh, you'll hear like some nerd over in the corner be like, oh my God. And then you'll be like, oh, I got to look that up later. And then it's this whole like insular thing that drives these movies. And this is like
the epitome.
Not only
of
is
that.
This movie like the apotheosis of like the multiverse thing, but it's also this thing of like movies don't have to be movies anymore. They're like, they're like their own.
They're just cash cows. And you just, hey, this director doesn't work. Fuck your vision. I got my own vision.
Yeah.
It's Christopher Reeves from, and his dad, too. Or, or whoever the fuck. But like,
I can't believe that
there is no vision.
Put a character in from a movie that got canned at the beginning of production.
Yeah. Just for it. Just because.
Yeah.
Honestly, they probably had a list of characters and they did a survey and they're like, which one is going to get the most articles written? Because like if so for me as a actual fan of this stuff,
directing by Google Trends,
if they showed, let's say they showed like in the comic books, there's like a bunch of versions of the Flash. There's Wally West. And like I grew up with Wally West in the comics and in the animated series. Like, let's say Wally West is in one of these things. I at least go like, oh, that's cool. They have like a love and admiration for the source material and maybe other, but. Like people who watch the movie aren't going to be like, oh, they'll be like, oh, what was that? But if it's Nicolas Cage, people know that actor. And now it's all, like Nick's saying, it's all about the actors now, which is so, I mean, it's so ugly because it's like it's like these animated movies where the cast is entirely, you know, famous actors now.
Yeah.
Where they have the whole press tour is these people who worked on this movie for maybe 3 days.
Yeah. And you have this animation crew of all these insanely talented people who are like, they're driving the performances that are...
They make the suits. None of the suits are even fucking real anymore. Yeah, yeah. Like, it's all VFX artists doing that work.
And
everything.
It's just this... a movie can no longer... Like, now I sound like an old man, but used to be. You walk into the theater and you're closed off from the rest of the world and you're having a unique, isolated experience that is, like, speaking to some human thing. Right. Yeah. And now it's like you walk into the theater and it's like you're scrolling through TikTok. It's like, here's another thing that's referencing all the other things that, oh, you didn't see WandaVision or whatever. Oh, that's Marvel. But like, you didn't see the show or the right. You didn't see the spinoff. You didn't read the spinoff novel. You know, you're not going to quite
you
get
didn't
this part.
See Supergirl from 1977.
Here's my fan theory, Dean. Now that both Marvel and DC have multiverses, I think it's like 10 years before we see a crossover. Not even. Give it two before they start dipping into each other's little superhero inkwells. Oh, give me one of your Supermans.
I think they're actually starting to see the fatigue.
Yeah,
I hope
and
so, bro.
I think what it is that the streaming services are all not working as well as they thought. Like Bob Iger came out and said, he's like, we really screwed up with all these Marvel shows.
Yeah, man. it's too much.
It's great, though.
It diluted the brand.
I hope we correct. I really hope we correct.
We need to. It honestly is, and I said this on the couch, too, is it feels like where games are at, too, with the pre-order situations.
Yeah.
Where everybody pre-orders a game that's a kind of like a known IP, and then you get this buggy disaster. And it's like, until people stop voting with their money in that direction, there won't be any sort of course correction.
Which has happened. Has happened. DC's last like four movies have been massive bombs.
Well, this one especially.
Yeah.
Well, this one lost almost $200 million.
Which it already did bad for a normal superhero movie, but you tack on all the extra shit. Like that ending with George Clooney, they shot that four times with four different sets of actors. Mm-hmm. One of them had Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot. One of them, you know, it was probably Michael Keaton and the Supergirl actress. And then this is the one they ended on. But they had
to
pay.
Just know that before they shot it.
Yeah.
Look at this, though. The Flash made just $268.5 million against a reported $200 million production budget and $150 million advertising budget.
That was its... entire box office was 268 million.
Dude, yes.
You say that like it's a small amount of money.
They lost almost $200 million. Negative almost $200 million. That is a wake up call.
They should have just stopped. After the first director walked off, they should have been, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, the imagine rewrite that thing always scares me away personally, but it is nice because I do hope there is some sort of course correction. It doesn't affect me directly too, because I don't really vote in those movies direction anyway until they're like free to watch basically.
It does affect you though, because it takes resources from other things that could be entertaining you, dude.
That's valid.
And that could be employing artists to actually like work on things that can enrich the world rather than just steal your money over and over and over.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The worst part for me is that DC has done such a terrible job with these characters over the past basically 10 years at this point, that there's really almost, unless they just don't make a DC movie for another 10 years, there's really no recovering. Mm-hmm. Like Batman has had incredible movies. The last Batman movie was like probably one of the best, if not the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that character will continue on. But the rest of this cast of characters, including Superman, have been
so forgettable.
Yeah, it's just like there are there's so many comic books that talk about like All-Star Superman or even like the original Flashpoint comic like that been deeply meaningful to me. And to see these characters like trotted out with like 75 years of history with so many adoring fans to just be like, "Ah, here you go. Here's our fourth director made this movie with zero heart." You know, and I don't blame the people who worked on it. No. They probably did their best with the situation, but it's just the counterpoint with a very similar story is the new Spider-Verse, because it's also a multiverse film. It's also like the main character has to, adjust to these new circumstances. And like that movie is doing a similar thing, but it's a pure work of art.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best movies that's been made in the last, you know, couple of years. And that's the hopeful thing for me, is that like there's still some people treating these characters with like the reverence I think they deserve. Mm. But this was,
I think, cool. To do that, you need to have a someone with a vision involved, though.
Yeah.
And like that's what I see like a lack of when I go and see like a Marvel or a DC movie that doesn't work. It's because of lack of vision.
Yeah.
And well, relying on those fan service moments. And like the fan service should be making a damn good movie about these characters that the fans love.
Yeah.
Not just sticking in Easter eggs. And like I do respect DC actually for that reason. Like I think James Gunn's movie that he's made have been really good. Like
they've been great.
I've been like, dang, these Guardians movies, that's like one of my favorite superhero franchises.
Mm-hmm.
From someone who normally hates that stuff.
And on the DC side, Suicide Squad
was awesome.
Dude, yes.
Which
I
was
loved
a great
it.
Movie.
His flavor, but like it's because of him and mm-hmm. like and his team and everyone he works with and, you know, steers and like even motivates probably just in being him to like do really good stuff.
Dude.
And it comes through.
Well, yes. Also with him, it's like he is really smart in that he chooses the lesser known characters so that he has a lot of creative control. Because the thing is, now he's doing a Superman movie and I'm actually really interested to see what he does. But like when he was first starting out in this scene, he chose the Guardians of the Galaxy because it was like,
yeah, I remember thinking, who the heck is
that?
He's
like, I can do anything with these characters and I can make them, I can have a take.
And now a raccoon is having a more emotional payoff on me than the Flash.
Yeah.
Which is true.
The Flash.
Well, look, I'll say this. Like before I worked at Corridor, I actually edited one feature film.
Okay.
A buddy of mine directed it and he asked me if I would edit it. And nice. I was like, dude, of course. It's been on my bucket list the whole time.
Yeah.
Watching a director from start to finish in the editorial process try to maintain a consistent vision for a piece through all the changes and troubles that arise put me personally off directing any sort of feature in the future. I don't personally have that vision. A lot of incredible directors do, but that was sans any sort of producer reaching in. And I know that all of these things are such giant ships that when you bring a director in and they do have a cohesive vision, like James Gunn is a great example, to see something through on a bigger film like Flash or Superman or whatever, all those other voices that slowly just pick it apart. They kill your joke here, or they kill the arc here, or they panic here. Oh. Or it's their money, their choice. They get to do whatever they want to do. They all take a bite and just completely ruin the meal that you're preparing before you serve it. And then it's your name on the line. And of course, we always come back to it, the visual effects artists on the line, because they're the last step in the process. And that's why with this whole thing, everyone going, the VFX suck. It's like, yes, visually, not great in a lot of areas. I still hold absolutely no blame for the visual effects, because with as big of a mess as it was through pre all the way through post, they were probably way overworked, deep into OT, unpaid, overloaded. And there's like, you have a week to do this thing that takes a month. Okay, just get it done. Go, go, go. Okay, give it to the people. Here's your slop.
Yeah, it always starts at the baby scene. Like, the idea to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's like, you can't really do that unless it's all, like, in an animated film, you can do that. But you can't do that in a cinematic film.
Yeah, make it look good, make it done fast, make it emotionally, you know, appealing. And here's this kooky, crazy concept with a couple weeks to work on it. It's like, okay, well, you're not going to get anything good. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's never smart to blame the artist. It's about the people making the decisions.
Yeah.
That's where this is coming from. They're the ones directing the movie.
Yeah, truly.
Literally behind, like, working from home, behind their emails, from their mansions, going, actually, let's stick in the Nick Cage. My son told me about an article
about that.
Like, that's,
that's what it reads as on screen. It's like somebody was like, oh, put that in there.
Well, and then you get this whole, like, the layers of corporatism where, like, nobody wants to take any risks because, you know, the entire infrastructure and motivational structure of a corporation is, like, to avert risks.
Yep.
And so anybody who takes a risk is like really putting their neck out. And so you can never get somebody who's in the middle of the chain somewhere to be like, oh yeah, let's take this risk. It never happens. It like never happens.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let us touch guns in Punch for Punch because they were worried about like
For Extraction 2, by the way.
For Extraction 2.
Which is very gun reliant. Let's just say that.
Like, literally the entire movie is a like extraction agent.
Hey, do you guys want to make a huge marketing piece for our movie that's about a guy
bad guys.
Who shoots bad guys?
It would be like doing a John Wick scene. A John Wick take without having a firearm in it.
Do one for Creed, but don't do fighting.
Punching.
It's like okay. Punching.
I'm thinking it's more like a chess thing, maybe. Like, you know, like
maybe just like montages, you know?
Yeah.
Or just like the relationship really he has with Rocky Balboa. Yeah,
people really don't like punching right now.
People are just really there's been a
the
lot
polls
of punching.
Are in.
We
just want to avoid the backlash on X. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm just fascinated by the fact that, again, like being a very, very corporate film in all aspects, it was designed above all else to reset everything. It's like, okay, we made a big mess in a lot of different areas. Clean slate. Let's try again. And on the try again, it was their biggest flop. So where do you go from there? Like what follows that?
I don't know that there's any recovering. Like, I think like what James Gunn's plan is to start out with a lot of the Suicide Squad style projects where it's like one of them is called Creature Commandos and you're like, who the hell are they? Good.
Heck
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like it's out there, it's its own thing, and he'll do his Superman movie, but that's not gonna come out for like probably another 3 or 4 years.
Nick Cage
will be cool. Reprising the role. Well, not
I'm
reprising because he never did it.
Maybe this
place.
Was just a teaser.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
well, he didn't even do this one.
The question everyone wants to know is there any hope after all? That's really what this whole podcast comes down to. And I need to hear it from you.
For superhero movies.
Well, I'll hold out hope for James Gunn because I think Warner Brothers is like an absolute dumpster fire right now. And I mean, they got bought by Discovery, right? And Discovery's already trying to get rid of them.
Oh, whoa.
They're like bleeding money and they keep,
so
they keep
sad,
doing
man.
This thing
it's
where they're
so
like,
sad that that's what like one of the most
channel,
staple, like, production companies of all of Hollywood is now just a bleeding ulcer that everyone's passing around.
But luckily, was Barbie Warner Brothers? I think Barbie was Warner Brothers.
Discovery Discovery closes acquisition of AT&T's Warner Media.
Yeah.
Dang, man. Like, wrapped in a wrapper.
It's like, what is that?
Warner Media.
What is that? What does that even mean?
God. So they just had the Barbie movie, which did really well. They'll like limp along.
Well, now you know what's gonna happen with Barbie now.
Multiverse
baby.
Did you see they hit up Mattel and they're like, Mattel, what do you got? Yeah.
Yo, Legos. Let's get some Legos and Bionicles.
Yo,
in
Mattel,
let's
get
some freaking.
No, but so
who
check
else,
out
dude, some trucks, truck
let's,
toys.
Let's wrap this out on the Mattel cinematic universe we got coming. Okay.
Yeah.
So we got Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels. All day we got Hot Wheels for sure.
So what's the story? There's no story.
Dude,
it's Hot Wheels. Yeah.
It's Hot Wheels. Cars meets, you know, whatever. They'll eat it.
Freaking Alphabet Blocks. Do you remember those? That would be sick. Alphabet Block, the movie.
Oh,
like the wood blocks that you stack up.
But
dude, I think Chris Pratt.
Check it out.
Chris Pratt.
But here's
maybe Nick Cage would be good.
Here's
yeah.
another Mattel.
He could be the B.
Nick here's Cage can Mattel. Play the wacky letter X.
Yeah. He'll be the X. Yeah. Oh, freaking Anna Taylor-Joy would play a great J, I think. She'd make a great J.
Here we go. Look at this. Yeah. We got him on the on
my
the
favorite is they have Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Oh, perfect.
We're going to see the Hungry Hippos.
How hungry
movies.
Are they, though?
So actually, Christian, these... Some of these brands they don't own, they just make toys for.
Oh, I was going to say,
are we
going to
get a biopic about the founder of Mattel also, starring Ben Affleck?
Oh, that'd be sick.
Are we going to get that?
And it's
about, we always want to know who Mattel was. Who was he?
Mattel is your story.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually, I don't know, the new frontier of cinema as superhero movies died is movies about products.
I know,
have you
it's
noticed
so bullshit.
This?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Baby Yoda,
it's
honestly.
Every non-superhero movie now is like about, it's like BlackBerry. Tetris, hot Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Yes. They made a fucking Flamin' Hot Cheetos movie.
No,
bro, the Nike movie was so fucking bad.
Wait, you watched it? I watched the trailer and I passed.
It's like it's oh god.
I watched Tetris.
I'm not gonna get started.
That
That's
was
a whole
directed by Batman.
Yeah, I know it was. I can freaking tell when he directs a movie with himself in it and all his friends.
Wait,
I know
he's in Flamin' Hot.
No, the Nike movie.
It's not actually called Flamin' Hot.
Yes.
Yes, it's called Flamin' Hot. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I can't wait for the scene where he
It's a Disney Plus original, Jake. Hulu, yeah. I thought.
You're not trolling me right now.
Bro. Cinema is strong right now. We have Flamin' Hot.
The scene where he first tastes it is going to be off the charts.
I watched the trailer because I love Flamin' Hot. Are my favorite thing in the world. Yeah. And I watched the trailer because I was like, oh, I want to know how they did that. And immediately I was like, this is not true. this is just so extreme.
Yeah. Wait, like, do you know the story?
Of it was a janitor at Frito-Lay, Frito-Lay, whatever.
That guy
gives a shit.
This guy who invented Flaming Hot Cheetos, or allegedly, because he made it up.
Yeah. Oh, there was a janitor who went home and added spice, and then the CEO, I don't know.
Dude, that's like every okay. My wife is Mexican. She adds hot sauce to everything. Okay, this isn't some exceptional thing. It's like they add hot sauce to everything.
No,
and this guy just
happened to
work at a chip company, all right?
There was a whole...
If every Mexican worked at a chip company, there would be amazing snacks everywhere.
The Frito-Lay cinematic universe.
Hot sauce on something.
No.
But the guy, there was an LA Times expose, and the guy made up the whole story. And this has been like in the lore for like 20 years that this guy invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Gosh. Well, yeah, we've gotten the Nintendo Cinematic Universe on the way after the success of the Mario movie. We've got the Frito-Lay Cinematic Universe the success of Flamin' Hot. And then you're going to have a Flamin' Hot-Hot Wheels merger. You're going to start having those universes collide.
No,
and the Flash will come true, man.
That's like
the dystopian
future that he talks about in Fight Club, where he says in the future all the galaxies will be owned by corporations.
We're headed there, man. Truth is stranger than fiction, Jake.
Dude, Ziploc stock and Two Smoking Barrels about the guy who invented plastic bags. He had to go up against the big brown bag mafia was out to get him.
God.
It's a really gritty story, and we're going to get Cillian Murphy to play the bag, the first bag.
Yeah, the first bag. Yeah.
We have to take it back, guys.
It's
we have to take it back.
Capture.
Yeah.
It's getting out of control.
Can we end this podcast on a positive note? I don't want to leave people with this negativity.
Dean, where are we headed, man? Anything. Somewhere bright. Point is in the bright direction.
Well, I think Spider-Verse, I think there's this like amazing renaissance in animation that is happening and is coming. And I think for superheroes, animation is the best medium to present these characters. Like we've seen that with Spider-Verse. Because like, you know, anime, like people love anime, and anime is just like an adaptation of comic books, mangas. And I think in the same vein in the US, I think we're going to have I think where all these superheroes should go, they should get out of theaters. Well, get out of like, you know, these big Hollywood studio movies and be animated and have like artists, you know, have love and care for these characters. And
maybe one day.
Maybe
a Bollywood director will cross the sea.
Oh, I hope.
Yeah.
And take the reins of a Hollywood feature and blow everyone's mind.
Let's trade, dude. I'll go over to Bollywood. They're having fun over there.
They're having fun.
They are not having.
It's just a reminder. It's just a reminder. You can vote with your dollars. That's the beautiful thing. We have the final say. And you know, Dean, maybe the lesson here is don't go to the premiere. Maybe the lesson here is hang back. Get a lay of the land and decide, are these the people you want to give your money to? Did they respect the IP that you love? And do they deserve that hard-earned dosh?
Because the Cheetos movie is coming out soon. Mm. So
it's already out.
Oh, my God.
It's on
God.
Disney Plus, man.
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
It's on this streaming.
Well, what are we doing,
Hulu,
guys?
Yes.
There's a Cheetos podcast movie, too?
Freaking get Flamin' Hot.
Oh, Flamin' Hot. That's Flamin' Hot. Yeah.
Right.
It's all part of the cinematic universe.
Well, when are they going to tie in Flamin' Hot with Limon, though?
That's gonna be
the multiverse. Yeah, that's the
gosh. They do the Cheeto puffs.
Yeah, when are they gonna tie in puffs? Okay, all right, guys.
You're
that's
just
gonna
enough. Have to wait for next
that's
quarter,
enough
Jake.
For me. I can't handle any more of this.
Neither can
sorry
I.
Sorry for the ranting, everyone.
Yeah, let me just ask
I need
this
to do
last
some
question.
Contemplative I need to take some contemplative time after this.
And I
really
just want to ask one last question here. Dean, do you feel better getting that off your chest?
Oh, absolutely. I've explained the entire plot of this movie 4 different times.
Mm.
It takes like 20, 25 minutes.
Mm. Yeah.
And each time a little bit of that trauma is relinquished from my body.
So maybe the only thing to do now, everyone who's still listening,
is to drop some bless yous in the comments for Dean and his soul. Give him some peace. Yeah,
just give him a reason to keep going.
Give him some bless yous. Bless yous in the chat. Dude, bless you, boy.
Some bless yous.
F's in chat for original films. All right.
Yep.
Thanks for watching, everybody. We're going to stop it here. This is chaos.
Oh, thank you, everyone.
All right, gang.
Thanks for hearing
Thanks
us
for listening to my,
feel better.
My ramblings.
Oh, listen, we're going to keep at it, okay? We're going to keep at it. We're going to keep trying. And
don't give up.
You know, that's all we can do. We're just going to keep making things.
Keep running.
Mm-hmm. Keep running. Don't stop running.
All right. See you
Ezra's
later.
Ezra's going to get you.